Welcome to r/maliciouscompliance, where two Karens get exactly what they asked for. Our next Reddit post is from Flannery Culp. I used to work in a restaurant that was mid-range in terms of cost, but we also had a very reasonably priced set menu. It offered three set choices, but it cost like £10. As such, the set menu was our best-selling product, and it was priced exactly by the kitchen and management. I didn't personally wait on this table, but I heard the story from the server after they left. One day, two ladies came in, and after they were seated, they said they wanted the set menu, but they wanted to substitute the desserts for something else. The server tells them, "I'm afraid that we can't do any amendments, but all the dishes on the menu are available a la carte if you wanted to order separately." The separate desserts would have cost a few pounds more, and that's it. These ladies didn't want to pay more. They just wanted to substitute the desserts. "We can't have the pie because we're celiacs." "Okay, then we can swap the desserts, but there will be a supplement."
"You're discriminating against us because we can't eat gluten."
"It's not discrimination."
"We have to pay extra money because we can't eat gluten."
You get the gist. So we check with the manager, and they say that we can swap the dessert at no extra cost. They're smug, but whatever. But as standard, we give out free bread baskets when water is served. We didn't have gluten-free bread, so the server didn't come over with the bread basket. The ladies notice this, and as their water is being poured, they ask for the bread basket. The server said, "But we don't have any gluten-free bread, I'm afraid."
"It's fine, we can have the bread."
"I'm sorry, but there's gluten in our bread, and you've told me that you have to have gluten-free dishes. I can't serve you something that might provoke a bad reaction." They got up right then and left. They didn't even touch their waters. They stormed past the host and said, "All we wanted to do was swap the desserts on the menu." Our next Reddit post is from Joke on You. This last year during COVID has been a tough year for my family. My husband went from six figures supporting our family on his salary alone while we pocketed my entire salary to losing his job for 8 months. I work in political campaigning, which means that I work on short-term contracts as an independent contractor. In other words, if we lose an election, I move on to the next race. I made a pretty good name for myself working on the lower levels of a campaign and moving up quickly. In my state this year, there were statewide elections, and I caught a lucky break and became the campaign manager on a statewide race. As a 24-year-old woman, I'm the youngest campaign manager to run a statewide race in about 20 years. When the primary came up, we lost the election by 200 votes. Even though we lost the campaign, me coming so close to winning at my age made me kind of a superstar in my field. After we lost, I had offers from all over the state for jobs. The problem was that I had just bought a house, and I wasn't looking to relocate, which you often have to do in politics. Or the positions just weren't paying enough. I got an offer to join a local campaign, so no relocation, but the salary was lower than what I was used to. I would, however, be the campaign manager again. However, I quickly learned that my boss had a holier-than-thou personality. She made several comments about how real women breastfeed and have natural births. I would later be able to do neither, and it really screwed with my emotional well-being. I don't have time to list all the red flags, but I was literally just waiting until my husband got a job to exit. The campaign hadn't been built out at all. There was no one other than the candidate. I ended up building out our entire team, consultants, fundraisers, staff, etc. Luckily, I've made a lot of powerful connections in my time. I signed my contract with the salary that we agreed on, with the stipulation that if we raised enough money 3 months down the line, my salary would be raised, but it could not be lowered at any point. Just a few weeks prior, I had also found out that I was pregnant, and my due date was the week of the election. Also, just a week after joining the campaign, I was also in a serious car accident. Luckily, my pregnancy was safe, but I herniated a disc in the car accident. And due to my pregnancy, there were very few things that could be done to help manage my back pain. If I did my job right, that shouldn't be an issue because my job can essentially be handled from home and staff could do the rest. I had the team working in lockstep, and I was proud of the work that I was doing, even though only about 10% of my views aligned with the campaign. Then we hit a snag. The candidate's husband got deployed to a rather dangerous place for a month, and she completely checked out. She stopped fundraising, which means that everything comes to a halt in campaigning. She just stopped putting in the legwork. We also lost our only lower staff member during this time. We knew the candidate was worried about her husband, so no one on the team tried to push back very hard. Eventually, her husband came back, and it was go time. There wasn't a minute to waste, and I was back to getting our operation working full speed. A couple of weeks later, I told her I would need to take a step back from doing other staff members' jobs, mostly door knocking, because of my injured back, but that we would hire someone else instead. Unfortunately, due to the lack of fundraising, it made it hard to pay anyone else, and those duties fell on her. Typically, campaign managers do not knock on doors. We had a team meeting with the entire team, and I started pressuring the candidate about all the things she wasn't doing, and there was a legitimate meltdown. She started yelling at me about how I wasn't doing my job, and how my pregnancy wasn't her problem, and how I was the reason that everything was failing, and then hung up on the entire team. This is where the malicious compliance comes in. After this, I decided to take a step back from doing all the duties that were typically handled by lower staff, and I just focused on doing my job duties, which weren't being appreciated. I pretty much went radio silent, and she kept nitpicking at everything. Everyone in the campaign started to grow uneasy, but I just told them to hold out. Well, sure enough, she calls me up and says,
"Since you're pregnant and can no longer door knock, you can either work for the state minimum wage or you can find a new job."
Mind you, she knew that my husband had been out of work for 8 months and thought that I had no options at this point. But what she didn't know is that my husband had gotten a job offer that exact day. So I stopped her right there, thanked her for the opportunity, and told her I'd be working my contractually obligated 30-day notice at my current salary and then leaving the campaign. She then began to scream at me about how she wasn't paying me a dime more and started listing off all the issues that she had with the way that I was doing my job. I stopped her. I thanked her once again, and I told her all of my finishing tasks would be completed when I received payment for the last month that I worked. Yes, she was a month behind on paying me. I also demanded payment for the 30-day notice that she was legally required to pay me whether I continued working or not. I waited a few hours and she never finalized my termination in writing. So I sent her a termination letter thanking her for the opportunity and once again repeating everything that we discussed on the phone. She sent me a nasty email, again reiterating that I wouldn't be paid for the previous month or 30 days, and listed about 10 things that I'd done to be terminated, including that I didn't wear makeup to work every day. I decided to send this email to the rest of the team, and sure enough, everyone quit except for the consultant. In 5 minutes, she lost everything that she had. Then a friend of mine offered me a dream job working for him, so all in all, it worked out in my favor within 5 minutes of being fired. Well, here's where things get tricky. I realized that my contract that obligates her to pay me for the 30 days notice isn't signed, so I'm screwed. Well, sure enough, in her fit of rage, she starts emailing everyone talking badly about me. The only problem is, I still have access to her campaign email, and I'm seeing every email that she's sending. Emails saying that she wants to keep me on staff, but I have to make less money, and that I shouldn't have been dishonest about my pregnancy. So, clearly, I wasn't doing my job that badly. She just wanted to pay a pregnant woman less. She also asked the consultant for a list of things that I did wrong in the campaign so that she would have cause not to pay me my contract. I noticed that the consultant never replied to this email. He told her that if she wants to fight it, send him a copy of the contract, and he would have a lawyer take a look at it. Well, sure enough, she sends him a signed copy of the contract, and once again, my contract is valid, and she now has to pay me my severance. She has given me every piece of ammunition I need to get paid at this point, as well as a wage discrimination suit for referencing my pregnancy as a reason for termination. I hire a lawyer. She continues to pester me about turning over all my work. The thing is, since I'm an independent contractor, I only owe her a final product if I get paid. I reiterate that she's not getting anything until I've been paid, and she can take it up with my lawyer. She begins slandering me to everyone I know and continuing to send emails about me that I just keep collecting. She then starts calling every friend she has to bully me into giving her what she wants. My response to all of them is talk to my lawyer. In one final ditch effort, she has the consultant call me, begging me to turn over the stuff. The problem is that the consultant and I are personal friends, and he's really unhappy working for her, but he has contractual obligations. I tell him to tell her the same thing, talk to my lawyer. 5 minutes later, I get a call back from him saying that she's fired him because he refused to throw me under the bus. and to make up excuses for my termination when he believes that I was wrongfully terminated. So since she fired him as well, he's also out of his obligations. He also told me that the lawyer that she sent the contract over to said to just pay me. In a matter of 2 weeks, she is once again at square one with no one on her side. She's out of money and struggling. She finally emails me at about 11 p.m. saying that she's willing to pay me. It's nighttime and I don't work for her anymore, so I decide that I don't need to respond to her at that moment. Well, she starts calling me incessantly and texting me, all of which I ignore. By the time I wake up in the morning, I have 20 texts and 5 missed calls. I tell her that I'll need to talk to my lawyer at this point, and I'll get back to her after he responds. Well, she goes nuclear. 20 minutes later, I get a call from the cops. She claims that I've been embezzling campaign funds and stealing her data. I have to get my lawyer on the phone and explain the whole situation and why this is a BS claim. I offer the bank account information for the funds that she claimed I stole and prove that they were sitting right there in her account. She just doesn't know how to access them because I'm usually the one who does that. The police officer thinks that she's nuts at this point, because she is. But he then informs me that it's considered larceny to withhold my pay, and he asks me if I would like to press charges. I say, if she refused to pay, then yes. Within 2 days, I received a check in the mail with my payment, and I turned everything over. The funny thing is that my 30-day notice pay was actually more money than if I'd finished out the contract with the reduced pay that she wanted to pay me. I got an extra $700, and I didn't have to work for her for the remainder of the time. She ended up losing her election in a swing district by 15 points. So there's like a really important part of this story that I'm not 100% sure if I understood correctly. But like, OP was saying that she didn't have the signed contract. So what I guess happened is OP signed her half of the contract and she gave it over to the boss, and the boss didn't sign the contract and give it back to her. So the boss just had the contract like sitting at a desk somewhere. And so when the consultant asked for the contract, I think that the boss went and found the contract, signed it, and then scanned it over to the consultant, which OP got her hands on. So if she had just not signed it or had not sent it, then OP would have no legs to stand on whatsoever. So she completely screwed herself over with her own stupidity. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. We all shop online, every single one of us. So you all know what I'm talking about when I say there's that little promo code field taunting you at checkout. Don't you just hate to leave it empty? Well, with Honey, you never have to leave it empty. Honey is a free browser extension that automatically applies the best promo codes to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores and has saved over $2 billion for users. When I recently purchased a new mouse for my computer, Honey saved me a few bucks, and it cost me nothing. Basically, when you're shopping online, all you have to do is click the Apply Coupons button, and Honey will automatically search for the best coupons and apply them to your order. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/r/. That's joinhoney.com/r/. Our next Reddit post is from Lay. So, about 10 years ago, my husband and I were renting a house while we tried to buy a place. The landlord seemed so nice, and it was a great situation. When we found a place to buy, we gave him our forwarding information along with the keys. It took about 2 months to get our deposit back, and we were shocked to say the least. He had taken about $400 out. He had an enclosed door that had screens with no glass. It had outdoor carpeting that was gross, and we bought a remnant to cover the carpet since we had little kids, and it was questionable. It wasn't ideal, but it was a rental. When we left, we rolled up the carpet and threw it out. Anyway, the landlord said in his letter that he was taking out $400 because we had broken the lease by having a dog, and that his proof of that was the condition of the carpet. We did not have a dog. That carpet was gross when we got there. We tried to explain that, but he was having none of it, and he would ignore our attempts to reach out to him. Plus, how do you prove the absence of something? Cue malicious compliance. You want to follow the lease so carefully as to make up animals? Well, perhaps you should read the laws a little better. According to our state, landlords have exactly 1 month to send the deposit back. He took 2 months. According to the law, you can be held liable for 3 times the amount, which is $1,800 in our case. So we sued. We no longer wanted the $400 back. We wanted $5,400. While the process was somewhat painful, he eventually had to hire an attorney, and we settled on $2,000. We filed with the help of a friend, so we didn't owe an attorney, just filing fees. Our landlord ended up paying us $2,000 plus attorney fees instead of us paying him $400 for a phantom dog. Know your rights as tenants. Our next Reddit post is from Nage 2020. For 10 years, I worked night shift sorting mail at the post office. It was a secure job with decent pay and benefits. All the bulk mail for the area would come in, and we would sort it into different rounds based on the address. Learning all the breakdowns took some effort, but once you had them memorized, the job was relatively simple. There was a set amount of letters that you had to be able to sort per minute, and we were randomly tested on speed and accuracy. With a little experience, you could easily sort 3 to 4 times faster than what was required. The night shift ran 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and the staff that delivered the mail started at 6:30 a.m. We originally had a great manager who was happy for us to leave work once we'd sorted all that mail. This was a great incentive for all the night shift to work as fast as we could, because if we did, most days we got to leave an hour early, if not more, all for the same money. Productivity was spectacular. Our manager got a promotion to another office, and the new manager saw things differently. When he realized that we were all leaving early each day, he passed a mandate stating that we must stay at work until the end of the shift and assist the delivery staff. We tried explaining the benefits of the traditional system, but he wouldn't be swayed. Now, the only reward for hard work was more work. So, from then on, we worked only at the official speed. All mail was weighed so management could calculate how long it should take to process. We were always still well above the required rate, just not at the stellar speed that we had previously achieved. Not only did the work last until the end of the shift, we even started getting overtime, which never happened previously. Management could do nothing except hire more staff to meet the demand and attempt to cut down overtime. The new manager was shifted to another branch, and someone else was promoted in-house. Fortunately, they were well aware of the situation and let us go back to the original agreement. Now, with extra staff, we left even earlier and everyone was thrilled, both staff and management. That was r/maliciouscompliance, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.